Hello and welcome to Long Bangers. I'm not Matty. Hello, welcome to Strong Opinion Hibs. I'm not Calvin. I'm not Jack. I'm not Charlie. Welcome to Hibs.pod. I'm not Gavin. And welcome to Down the Slope. And yes, I'm Ewan. We'll all be very lucky to be joined by the new Hibs manager, Lee Johnson. Lee, how you doing?
Very well, thank you. Thanks very much for inviting me on, guys. During my research, I think I've seen a fair bit of all of you. So, I'm really looking forward to it.
Good. Well, I guess, will we go first, Harry?
You go first.
Lee, I guess the first thing is, obviously, you've been in post now a couple of weeks. How have you found it? Has it been as busy as you thought it would be?
Yeah, it's mad busy. It's funny, when you're a manager and you're out of work, you go 4 months and literally probably get about 5 phone calls, and 4 of them are from your mum. So all of a sudden you get back in work and it's constant. You know, you take a call, you miss 3. But it's good. It's that sort of hamster wheel, if you like, that you're on, and like, just love it, you know, just love being in the mix, love like the building process, the fact that meeting new staff, making new connections, and obviously what a better place to do it at a historic, iconic club like Hibs.
Yeah. On you go, Ian.
On you go, Harry, man.
One of the things I think that got the fans really excited for you joining, that came through in the statements after you got announced, was how passionate and driven you were and ambitious you were for the club. I know you're just in the door, but have you got your ambitions set for the season? What's the goal for next season at the current moment? I know we've not had the transfer window as of yet, but at the current moment in time, are we looking for third and decent cup runs, or?
Listen, I'm really positive. I think there's the makings there of a good squad. Like, we know we have to add. There's no doubt in that. I think we all know that. I think the players will know that themselves. But, you know, there's quality in that squad. And it wasn't long ago, a year ago to the day, where he did finish third. And obviously the cup finals were there as well. So, like, I'm ambitious, like you said, and I expect everybody else to be ambitious, as well as the fans, you know, and that comes with an expectation and a pressure. But for me, that's the privilege. Like, I like the sort of big, old, sort of historic football clubs. And that was really what attracted me to Hibs. And listen, it's front foot, you know, we're coming straight through the door, and we're trying to smash it down. So whoever we play, we're going to play to win. Like, you'll see that, I'm pretty sure, right from the start. We might not win them all, but we'll certainly die trying. And I think that's key, really, to the attitude of it all. You know, we need the fans to be on side. Like, I saw a little bit of disconnect, in my opinion, with a sort of fan base and the players that I didn't like. And listen, it wasn't much, but I feel that, like, we could really pack that stadium. And I think if we could pack that stadium, bring sort of really high tempo, forward thinking football, aggressive football, I think everybody will come back. I think they'll enjoy the process, and we can be as one, if you like, again. And I think if we do that, that can be really, really powerful in the Scottish League. And I'm looking forward to it. And nothing phases myself in terms of that pressure to try and win games. In fact, it's something that just love and absolutely thrive off.
Thanks. And just one more from me before we move on. What is it? Because when Sean Maloney first came in, he kind of promised us attacking football as well. I know you've got a history of doing that at your former clubs. Is it something tactically that you're going to instill in the players, or is it more of a mentality thing that will drive them to play this attacking football that you're talking about?
I think it's everything, really. You know, what does attacking football look like? Well, in transition, it's really important to play forward early. I think that's key. It's not long. It's just to play forward early. I think sometimes teams can get caught just recycling the ball. We do want to have control. So there's no doubt that we want the ball. You know, we don't want 85% possession. We want sort of like 55, because we want to be able to use the transition as well to our benefit. Obviously, you have to recruit players that can run and repeatedly run. You have to be able to play at tempo. What does tempo look like? Well, ball goes out for a throw-in, for example, can you get the ball back within 5 seconds, and really set that tone as early as possible in games? And then when it comes to the final third, obviously you need to flood the box as much as possible. So who can you get in the box? Two centre forwards, a wide man, potentially a fullback, an attacking centre midfielder. And then obviously you have to manage behind the ball. So then try and win the ball back quickly in the final third and produce more attacking play. So it's all good and well talking about it, isn't it? You've got to see it. And that's the key. Obviously, we'll work to that philosophy within the club, and I think the boys will buy into that. But you do have to recruit around that. You know, it does require a certain individual quality, if you like, physically and tactically, as well as technically, to be able to bring that style of football. But the great thing is we've got a really good academy as well, and that was something that really attracted me to Hibs. You know, obviously, having the under-18s just win the league, which is phenomenal, and they'll be pitting their wits against the best sides in Europe. So what a set of development players that we've got coming through. And that becomes really important because obviously fans can relate to young local players and players that come through the youth setup and the academy. So it's something that I'm sort of well-versed on at my football clubs, and I think it's important to be able to fund success, have young players come through.
Thanks, Lee.
Hi Lee. Yeah. So clearly you've got a very quite a clear picture of what you want the team to do, and you've got a good idea now of what you need for players to be able to do in order to achieve that. I'm just interested where you see the kind of cause for optimism in the team at the moment, without naming players for this reason. Kind of talk about areas, and then you know, on the same coin, what areas do you think there's room for most improvement, and how do you see sort of ushering that improvement in?
Yeah, I think first of all, that sort of final third, I think there's a big opportunity to improve. You know, I think you can do that obviously by recruiting players, by developing players, but also add in what you believe is the right thing to do tactically. It does require obviously motivated players to want to play that role, and the physical element that goes with it is going to be difficult to get in pre-season. I think we're a little bit late back, if I'm honest with you. But that was already set in stone, considering our first competitive game is sort of mid-July, and that's a cup, obviously, we want to be successful in as well. It only really gives us sort of 17, 18 training days. So the recruitment as well, naturally, is key. You know, you've got to have that pitch personality for the forward players. And I think probably just looking at the likes of Boyle, when you lost Boyle, you realise a player like that with so much pitch personality can have a detrimental effect if you lose them. So we need to add quality. I think we need to add numbers higher up the pitch, and I believe we will. You know, I'm looking at all the lists that are already here. I'm bringing my own input, obviously, to the lists from my knowledge and contacts down south, but also all across Europe. And we're starting to formulate a good list. You know, I think we're speaking to good players across various age ranges. And obviously Hibs is a fantastic club. Edinburgh is a beautiful city. So it's not too tough a sell. We've just got to make sure we win when we're competing for these particular players that we want.
Hi Lee, nice to meet you. It's Colin here that we introduced earlier on. How you doing? I'm just wondering, like, my wife is a season ticket holder, or was a season ticket holder of 30 years plus. She's not renewed this year yet. What would you say to entice her back? Almost like an elevator pitch, if you like. Just short and sharp, what would you say?
Well, first and foremost, we need her. I think that's the key. You know, we want to make it that the fans are absolutely a part of our performance. And I did mention that in my sort of initial press conference, but it's so true. You know, especially fans that have been there for sort of 15, 20, 30 years. Like, this is an 80-year relationship that you've got with this football club. And, like, people like myself are just custodians, if you like, of these job roles. But what we can do is fight for each other. We can be successful on the pitch. And I think we can send everybody home happy more often than not. But then, obviously, work towards the sort of real showstopper at the end of the season. And that is success, whether that be cups, or league, or Europe, whatever that may look like. And I honestly think that's a possibility. I don't think it's too far away from reality if we make good decisions. And I hope that people see the players that we've already brought in, you know, like David Marshall and Nohan Kenna, two very good players. And like I say, we've got more, I think, on the back burner, sort of ready to go. And for me, it should be an easy sell because she's already got an affiliation with the club. It's a new beginning and it's a brave new beginning. And we want her to be a part of it.
You just need to find the money, then that's the next one. that was a mean reason, right? But I just wanted to see what you would say.
No worries.
Lee, I think the question that comes to my mind in terms of the two new signings that we've brought in, are you sort of a manager that likes to get business done early, or are you a manager that takes it when it comes, or how do you see yourself sort of operating in the transfer windows at Hibs?
Yeah, I just think you have to make good decisions. You know, if there's a good one that you can do early, sometimes it's maybe worth paying that little bit more. I think pre-season is absolute paramount to a successful season. We've had a lot of injuries at the football club, not so many muscle injuries, but a lot of contact injuries. So, like, players want to sort of bed into the season. Obviously, there's going to be a lot to learn for lads. They're going to need to have that growth mindset, really, the minute they walk through the door. And they have to be fired with enthusiasm, because that's what we want. You know, if we're going to play that style of football, they're going to need to come in every day with an enthusiasm and an attitude, if you like, to be the best version of themselves. And I think if fans are seeing that, if coaches are seeing that, I think you can forgive maybe some technical errors or some tactical errors, as long as the attitude is absolutely on point. And we've got to create a culture. It seems like a really nice vibe around the training ground already, you know, with the staff that are there. It all seems very positive. And we also need that bit of emotional stability, don't we? Do you know, like, the players need that. I need that. The club needs that. And hopefully we'll get that and have this time to sort of settle in on a pre-season. But in terms of recruitment, you've got to make good decisions. In the end, your recruitment will be the strength and the weakness of you as a manager. So, you know, we have to get that right, not just on a technical level, but on a human level. You know, we want good people coming through the door. They have to add value to the squad, to the spirit. Sometimes that's harder for the younger lads, but we need to create an environment where they can step up and bring that personality to the pitch and to the training ground every day.
Hi there, Lee. Calvin from the Strong Opinion Hibs podcast. Just got a question for you. Ron Gordon came out and said that two clubs that inspired him and he sort of hoped that Hibs would be like was Sevilla and Atletico Madrid. Are there any clubs out there at the moment, or the way they're run or coached or managed, that you look to for inspiration?
Yeah, I think for me, the City group, you know, you look at Manchester City and the work that the group as a whole have done. I've been so lucky with them because they've sort of let me in, if you like, for the last 10 years, really, since I was at Oldham. So I've managed to watch those guys develop across everything, you know, across the data side of their sort of recruitment. Like, they've obviously bought New York City. I think they're on about 9 clubs now, and they continue to buy. But they've also got to win and got to be successful. I think it was amazing, like, last year where, I think last season, Man City had won, Tuareg had got promoted, Melbourne had won the Australian League, MLS was won by New York City. Do you know what I mean? So it was it was real success, if you like, all the way through. And you need good people, you know, you need a clear alignment from top to bottom. And obviously you need to be able to develop young players and win football matches. So that's always the balance, like the young players, the average age of the squad, the keeping your best players fit. And I've been doing a lot of work on that side of it as well in this 4 months, you know, making sure that we periodise the programme to keep your best players fit.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks to Harry for letting me jump in front of him here. You signed in David Marshall, Nohan Kenna. Obviously, David Marshall's at the later end of his career. Hibs, over the last couple of, well, last season in particular, have signed very young players, and it looked like we were maybe lacking a bit of experience. Do you see us signing that sort of profile of player as in the younger bracket this season, or would you look to mix it up?
Yeah, I think you need to mix it up. Like my opinion on it is, it's quite interesting in terms of, again, the study that I've been doing on it. Like the perfect blend for me is like 4-8-8-4. So you'd have like four in the breakthrough category of like 16 to 20. You'd then have eight in that sort of 20 to 25 year old bracket. And that's where your assets are, you know, really for the football club to make it sustainable. You'd then have eight in your prime. From like 25 to the age of 30, and then four in that twilight, which is sort of 30 to 35 or plus. And I think like getting that balance is really important, because you need the seniors to be unbelievable human beings and winners, if you like, because they've obviously got to spread that through the club. And I think David Marshall obviously is a key personality in terms of that, leading the dressing room, coming in through the door, you know, wealth of experience, but also a very good goalkeeper still. And I think they can't just be great lads and not good players, they've got to be both. But we're probably short in that prime area. Now, the problem with the prime players is they're the most expensive. And if they're not expensive, there's probably something wrong. So what we've got to do is develop our own, stepping into that mould. The likes of, I think, Ryan Porteous, for example, is a really good example. He's 23, but in my mind, he's that sort of prime player, if you like, coming into the sort of peak of his career, and should have a very successful next few years in the game. So, you know, we've got to get that balance. But we've got all ages on our lists, young, like very young, in terms of trying to add those development players in. Those 20 to 25 year olds that are really that emerging talent. It's so important, that one, because they're the ones you can buy early. You know, they might be on the fringes of Premier League squads, or they might be Championship substitutes. You know, they're desperate to play, and we can offer them that vehicle to go and be successful at a really good club. So for us, naturally, that is a market for us. And if you recruit to perfection in terms of the attributes that you want for that position, then obviously it's my job to organise them as best as possible. But of course, they make more mistakes than the prime players because they're less experienced. So getting that balance to the squad, both in terms of personalities, but also in terms of age and demographic, becomes really important.
Hi again, Lee. I just wanted to tap into knowing Kenny, a lot of us have done our research. I know he was kind of a football manager wonder kid, and just seeing the tweets from Leeds fans after he left, they were relatively shocked that he came to Hibs. I think he was quite highly touted down south. What, first of all, how did the club manage to secure him? And secondly, what can we expect from him as a player?
Well, I think the club had done a great job in securing him. You know, it was one that was on my list, but the club were already in contact with anyway. So like to get a, you know, 19 year old sort of England international, with that experience, that's had sort of a lot of games on the bench for Leeds this year and been excellent for their under 23 sides, is a real coup. And that's the type of player that I'm talking about. You know, it's the one that wants to progress his career, is happy to jump across border, because sometimes in England, there's a little bit of a stigma against that. You know, we've got to break that down. Hopefully, by me coming up, and I've played obviously in Scotland and in England, I know how tough it is and how good it is in terms of the passion of the fans, the level of the football. So it's up to me to articulate those type of things down to the English players. So I think in terms of attributes, he's a good size. You know, he's sort of 6'2", depending on how high he brushes his hair. Might even call him 6'3". We did have that discussion. Like, good athleticism, but really good tactically and a good reader of the game. Of course, we need to improve certain elements of his game. But I think that, like, to put a versatile player like that, because he can play holding midfield, he can also play centre-half, and be able to nurture somebody like that, is important. And he's got to feel like he belongs at a club like Hibs. So it's up to us and you as well to do as much as you can to make players like that feel welcome. And it's not easy. You know, you move into a different culture, a different environment, a big club. It's the first time he would have had exposure to, you know, Twitter, Instagrams, he'll be recognised in the street where maybe he wasn't before. You know, he'll be playing games, he'll be scoring goals, winning games, costing us games. And I think that comes with a bit of a turmoil, if you like, but he's got to get through that. And I'm sure his quality and his personality will enable him to be really successful here.
I know it's been really transfer heavy already, Lee, but I'm going to keep it going. Is there any sort of specific areas of the pitch that you think we do need to strengthen, or even in the specific age categories? And you obviously mentioned the League Cup earlier as the sort of plan to try and have the squad as strong as possible for that, to sort of really attack that competition, because obviously it's probably not something you're used to having competitive games that early.
Yeah, I think it's something that's a bit of a challenge for me, if I'm honest. Because in an ideal world, I'd want sort of a 5-week lead in minimum into the first competitive game. So we haven't got that, but obviously we're going to have to work really, really smart with this. I think like the programme that's been sent out is excellent. And I trust the players to be able to be fit and stay fit. Obviously they need to enjoy themselves and relax as well. But I think the modern player is pretty good at that. You know, so in my era, we'd have the old bin bags on where we sort of came back and had literally a month, 6 weeks off. And I remember Graham Taylor just literally running us for about 3 weeks, I think, anywhere we possibly could to drop everybody's weight. So it doesn't normally happen now. We want players to come in sort of under 9% where possible. And if not, then they'll be doing extra sessions. So they'll know that. And in the back of their mind, that they'll be like, being a little bit careful with what they put into their body. But look, it's an important competition. You know, I've experienced a cup win with Kilmarnock winning that competition. And that was one of the best days of my life, if I'm honest with you, in terms of my football career, beating Celtic in the final. So like, I'm sort of firsthand to say to the boys, look, this is something that we've got to go for and got to go for early. We have got a few injuries that sort of cross over into pre-season from last season. Even more reason to get the correct recruits in through the door as early as possible, but not to the detriment of getting the value and the right personalities and attributes to make us successful.
Yeah, Lee, you just touched on there playing for Kilmarnock, and you obviously played for our neighbours in the other opposite half of the city. So what are you hoping that your experience playing up here, managing in England, that you can sort of amalgamate into one managing Hibs?
Yeah, well, I think, look, to be fair, in terms of experience, I've managed a lot of games now. You know, I'm 40 years old, but I retired at 31 for an ankle injury. And I think it's over like 470 games now. So it's a fair chunk. And my experiences in Scotland weren't amazing as a player. You know, at Hearts, like, it was a disaster of a regime at that point for me, with Romanov in charge and everything that he brought. So although I like loved the lads, you know, I've stayed friends with the majority of those lads all the way through. It was a great feeling. It was a feeling of frustration, if you know what I mean, because I felt that the club was being pushed in the wrong direction by somebody that didn't have genuine ambitions for the place. At the same time, at Kilmarnock, it was a short stint and a successful stint in that sense, because obviously winning the cup as well. So, like, I am half Scottish, like, genuinely, in terms of my mum's side's all Scottish. I'm pretty sure you'll see my nan fly up and down, and she's quite a lively character, so she'll be in and about the place. But that's important to me as well, you know, to sort of connect with the roots and make sure that it's successful. It's as simple as that. All you can offer really is that genuine hard work and doing everything you can to provide the club the best opportunity to be successful. And the good thing is, every club I've ever had that I've taken on has been left in a much better place. And I think that is a decent sign of success.
You just secured the Hibs manager Lee Johnson Blast former club Hearts title in tomorrow's papers with Romanov.
I'm just being honest with it. I don't, listen, I, you know, I think like, it's important that people did know that at the time, you know, but it was just like, football's tough. Like, to be a footballer, like, it's not easy, by the way, you know, because you're desperate to be one of those players that are the eight regulars. And for whatever reason, sometimes politically, as it was in those type cases, it's nigh on impossible. It was a really good team, actually, we had at that point as well. Don't get me wrong. But it was a real sort of learning curve for me, having been brought up here from Yeovil and been a sort of regular and played 200 games as a consistent starter.
To take another look at the current Hibs squad, you mentioned Ryan Portiers as a player that you see good potential in and kind of coming into his peak. I'm interested, what are his attributes that you know, when you look at as a manager, you think, yeah, great, that's a player I want to coach. And are there any other individuals in the squad that you could identify just briefly, you know, what attributes they have that you think, you know, that'll work in my team and I'd love to coach that player?
Yeah, I think that there's every player's got their individual attributes, and the challenge for a coach is to make sure that you fit your best players in. Like, people talk about formations. I'm not massive on formations, if I'm honest. I'm bigger on principles. You know, like, I want us to start to recognise, for example, that if there's a chip pass from right side centre half to the opposition fullback, like, we're going to jump it. So our fullback will jump to their fullback, and if he flicks it around the corner, we'll have to deal with it. You know, but so it's those type of things that I wouldn't say educate the crowd, but the crowd will start to recognise that sort of pressing ability and how we'll work towards that. Ryan, for example, I think that he's a tough player. You know, he's a competitor. I think he's got a voice for a 23-year-old. Clearly, it sometimes sort of steps into maybe over-aggressive at times, but we want to give a player like that like total clarity for when he can go and be aggressive in terms of a straight ball into a centre forward. I'm happy for him to go and sort of shut it down 15, 20 yards. So it's those type bits of clarity that the players need to make bold decisions. So I'll try and remove that element of fear and blame by giving them that clarity as much as possible. But he also has on-the-ball attributes. You know, I think the last game of the season was a great example. I want my centre-halves to be able to carry the ball out and attack the space. And therefore, you've got a constant threat then and waves of attacks sort of going in at opponents. And that's what we're trying to achieve, you know, making sure that we have that numeracy in the right places, not the wrong places, as we build to try and score a goal.
I think my thunder got stolen there a bit by Gav. I was going to ask a very similar question, but in a previous job, did you ever scout any of the players that are in the current squad that you were thinking about maybe taking to Sunderland or?
Yeah, absolutely. That? Kevin Nisbet was one. Probably illegally approached him 4 or 5 times. So but no, I think obviously, like, Kevin at his best is a top player. You know, he's one that I've wanted to get hold of for a number of years. Obviously, Dave Marshall, we actively were trying to sign a couple of my other clubs. I think everybody's had that sort of good look at Doig, you know. He was a bright up-and-coming player and now seems to be really experienced, even though he's only sort of 19, 20. So, obviously, a challenge to keep hold of players like that as well. A club like this, because there's a lot of interest in players like that down south from big clubs. So yeah, but I think, look, we're in a good place. I think that I'm really positive. Of course, I'm new, so I'm going to come in with that fresh enthusiasm. But I feel like naturally it's the way I am anyway. Hopefully that transcends into the players and they can buy in as quickly as possible.
Okay, if you don't mind, can I just ask as well, if How young is too old for a grown man to wear a replica kit?
Well, that's a real. Are we talking socks and shorts as well?
I think start with the top, but that's then we can sort of progress to the
full
kit.
Like, top, in terms of top and jeans, like, you can go to your, you know what I mean, until your dying day wearing your shirt with jeans on. But once we start stepping into shorts and varicose veins and, you know what I mean, and hairy legs and all that goes on with that, yeah, maybe you've got to be in and around your prime or under 14 to be able to get away with a full kit.
I'm not sure on that. I think it's once the belly starts appearing, I think that's when the kidneys to go. Anyway, I'll hand over.
So, Lee, this question is, obviously before you accepted the job, there was a little bit of a stigma around it in terms of maybe managers might have been frightened to go for the job or thought that they would have been up against it just with the way the two previous managers left. How did Ron and Ben sell the club to you? I remember in your first interview, you said you had a meeting down in London that meant to last 1 hour, but ended up lasting for three. So what type of things did you speak about that in that meeting, and how did they sort of sell the job to you?
Yeah, I think first of all, I was cautious. If I'm honest with you, I was, because I think it's natural to be. You know, like, I know a lot about Jack Ross and obviously his successes and quality as a manager. And obviously they decided to make the change for whatever reason. And then Sean Maloney comes in as a young manager, highly regarded coach, and obviously moves on pretty quickly. So for somebody like me that's just been sacked from Sunderland and where I was in terms of the sort of like a lot of times in football, like a manager's perception becomes the reality. Do you know what I mean? So the perception of him becomes like your own reality. And like obviously in and around sort of second, third, fourth at Bristol City, I was getting interest from sort of Premier League teams in England. And then football, whatever, changes. And that's why you can never be too comfortable. My dad was manager in Latvia and they had a saying called never relax. And that's a little bit like football management, because it can turn very quickly, both positive and negative. So obviously disappointed to lose my job at Sunderland, 2 points off top of the league. Another massive club, a big historic fan base. And I'm in a position, or was in a position before I got this job, where the next one was really important. You know, it was really important for me and my career, but also really important for the football club that I can add value to the club and what they've already got. So, like I say, that original caution, if I'm honest, was sort of nullified really quickly. And that was due to, like, knowing a lot about Hibs, first and foremost. So the size of the club, the size of the fan base, the history attached to Hibs is what I love, you know. But I need to be able to work with a hierarchy really well. And I need support. You know, you can't achieve success in this game without support from the hierarchy. And that was the key factor, really. And I think it's nice timing for both of us, because I feel like the club need that stability. And I need that stability as well. So you've got to build that rapport. You've got to build the connection with the family, with the ownership, with the key stakeholders, if you like, and the ones you're going to be dealing with every day. And obviously that was Ben, Ian, Ron himself as a decision maker, and obviously the key staff that we've got, but also are going to bring in. And in the end, I did have options, being honest, I did have options, but I couldn't stop that feeling of thinking about Hibs, watching Hibs. It's funny, actually. I think I mentioned it before, but I was in the... I actually went to a couple of the games, like incognito. Yep. So I didn't quite have a fake nose, moustache and glasses on, but it wasn't far off. And then the Livingston game, I was thinking I was fine 5 minutes before the game. Like, all chilled, no one sat around me. All of a sudden, like 300 of the sort of Livy ultras come in and sit like directly around me. And I couldn't get out because I didn't want to be seen. And obviously Livy won the game. And when they scored, I was being smoked out by the yellow and black flares. And it was like, I swear, if anybody sees me celebrate Livy's goal, little only because I didn't want to end up getting beat up by a sort of a gang of youths, but it was interesting. Actually, a really nice vibe, and they were brilliant. And like I say, it seemed like a really good young crew in there. But it was interesting. I felt I had to see it. You know, I felt like the club and the team needed to do a little bit more. But it's all good and well watching video, but you need to see the dynamics live. And therefore, I believed I could add value and help, and the process continued.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to ask just one more question to you. Another thing from that interview that sort of interests me was you said that you enjoy history and sort of getting into the psyche of a club and their fan base. What type of things have you done to sort of immerse yourself in that Hibs culture? And was there a piece of history that you found out about Hibs that sort of stuck out to you?
Yeah, I found it's something that I'm really interested in. So I'm obviously keen to learn a lot more. It's not so much like the history of the cup wins and stuff like that and the famous games. It's more about the people and the fan base and, you know, where your great granddad came from and where he sat on the terraces and the job that he worked, you know, and what they want to see when it comes to a match day. So obviously the history in terms of the Irish potato famine and then the Irish sort of coming across to Edinburgh and then the priest setting up the club and then merge basically to stop the trouble, if you like. And then obviously the Scottish and the Irish sort of coming together to form Hibernia, I think what it was called, which was actually Latin, wasn't it, for Irish FC, which again is, or Ireland FC, which is key. But yeah, it's just interesting to me, you know. I'm a bit of a history geek, I'd say, and I do like learning, so anything you can advise me on, I'll be eternally grateful.
No, Jack's the one with all the knowledge in our podcast. Me and Charlie are clueless. But no, I'll pass you on.
I don't know what it says about your mental state that you voluntarily watched us against Dundee and then chose another game to go to. even as fans, we were like, no shit about that. The question I had was, you mentioned you've got 470-odd games under your belt as a manager. What have been your highlights and what's your biggest learn from those games that you can bring to benefit Hibs?
You know what? I honestly think you never stop learning. I mean, I'm a completely different manager now to the one I was sort of as a young gunslinger going in at Oldham. You never stop learning, like leadership, sort of periodization, tactical play. What stands out for me is people, you know, to be able to manage and bring the best out in people. I think we managed to do that well. I think Bristol City was more of a trading success, although we competed at the top of the league the last two or three seasons, nigh on £100 million worth of players, if you like, developed and sold. So that's not easy. You know, you've got to do that as a collective. That's not me claiming that. That becomes the coaches, the psychologists, the fans, you know, the playing style, everything that goes into trading players at that level. It is really important because you've got to maximise everything. I think that stands out. I think obviously galvanising a football club is important as well. You can do that certainly with a playing style, winning games and bringing success. I think Sunderland's a good example of that. It was the first cup win. It was only the Papa John's, which is not the most sort of celebrated tournament, but long time that the club hadn't won at Wembley and it put us on that sort of path to success, if you like, and got people believing again. And then, like, there's just so much to it. Like the big games, you know, like playing, managing against coaches like Bielsa, Guardiola, Mourinho, like fantastic experiences for me. And like playing against Bielsa, let me tell you, who I consider probably as the best with Guardiola and Mourinho, is an education. And it's an half sort of open channels in your mind to be able to learn and improve and adapt and modify your game model already, but then obviously try and improve it as much as possible. So, yeah, I've been very lucky with the games I've had, the managers I've come across and the players I've been fortunate enough to work with. And this is just the new exciting part of the journey for me, the next chapter, and something that I'm really looking forward to.
You sort of touched on it earlier. I was just wondering, I can see a lot of similarities sort of between Hibs and Sunderland as clubs. They probably, the general fan bases probably feel like we're set up to be more successful than we have been probably at both times when you've taken over the roles. Is there anything that you've maybe learned at Sunderland or any of your previous jobs that you think will really help you in the role up here?
Yeah, well, I think we're probably better set up here in terms of behind the scenes. You know, like there was a lot of holes in the organisation at Sunderland. It had been on a sort of downward slope really for a long time. So it was sort of like turning the ship around, if you like, and trying to and push it in the right direction. I don't feel like this is a ship that's moving in the wrong direction. I think it's moving in the right direction. Like, the bit I've enjoyed is it's been a can-do culture. You know, I've come into the football club and everything I've asked for so far, that they've accepted and tried really hard, if you like, to put in place. And some of that's financial and some of that's organisational and some of that's structural. But it's really important, because of now, as you get older, as you get more experience, you have a defined way of working, if you know what I mean. And yes, you've got to bring the staff members and the right staff in, but that should be cohesive with what's already there at the football club. And if we can get that spirit, if we can get that unity, if you like, as a staff, including players, again, is something that can be really powerful in my eyes. So I think I can see the red flags a lot earlier than maybe I could earlier in my career. And I think in terms of Sunderland, that was a big benefit, because there's a lot of red flags at a club like that you collect and have to put right, really. And we did, not just myself, but everybody obviously working in that organisation.
Just to say, it's so refreshing, like, having a new manager come in and already know so much about the club. Like, you've clearly done your research, like the way you've been able to speak to the club, like, it's just refreshing. It's great to know. So there's no surprise when I say that the biggest game on the calendar, as soon as the fixtures get announced, is going to be the Edinburgh Derby. No point asking you what you're most excited for, but just how excited are you to manage the big games for Hibs against the likes of Hearts, Rangers, Celtic, and going away to Tynecastle and trying to get victories at those types of stadiums?
I'll be honest, it was one of the big draws for me. It really was, to come up, obviously having played in a Hibs Hearts derby before. Like, that was the biggest derby I'd played in and the most passionate derby I'd played in. As a manager, I haven't had great derbies, if I'm honest with you. Probably like Oldham Rochdale was the best one. Like, didn't get the Bristol derby, didn't get the sort of Newcastle Sunderland derby. Barnsley, like, had a few, but, you know what I mean, not the sort of same sort of level of passions that you'll get Hibs versus Hearts. And listen, Robbie Nielsen's a great mate of mine, I've got to be honest with you. Like, he's a really good friend of mine, to the point where I said, I think in the press, I said, I'm coming for you, Curly Toe. They reported it as Curly Top, but Robbie Nielsen's Curly Toe came from his passing quality. Either missed the first centre forward, went to the second centre forward, curled out of play, he sent me a lovely text back saying, listen, I'm really looking forward to this derby. It's going to be the Curly Toe Cuban heel derby, because obviously I'm not the tallest of managers. So I think that, yeah, we've already got that little bit of, like I say, spirit going between us, if you like, to try and win. But it's a big game, and I love big games. Like, I expect the players to love big games, to bring their best out in those games. And again, we want to be front foot. Like, we're not going to be sitting back. We're going to be aggressive in those games. And listen, we might get the odd pasting every now and again where we get it wrong. At the same time, I think that we'll win more games than we lose having that attitude.
Thanks, Lee.
Lee, a question that was on my mind, and I presume a lot of supporters' minds, was the future of like David Gray when you came in. So what experience and value do you think having David Gray on your coaching staff will offer to Hibs?
Yeah, I think really experienced. You know, I'm delighted that he wants to stay. It was brilliant that obviously he started his coaching career so well, and he's had that experience now of taking the caretaker role. And when they've had that, and they felt it, you know, players letting them down, players performing for them, the pressure of having to pick the team, the communication, like, quickly they understand what a manager goes through. And I think David will be exactly the same now, you know, and a good assistant, if you like, is key to be whatever the manager's not on the day, if you know what I mean. If I come in full of enthusiasm, they can be nice and chilled and relaxed. But if I'm maybe concentrating on a board meeting later on in that afternoon, they have to bring the energy. But he's been through a process now, you know, gone from player to coach very quickly. Looking forward to helping him in his coaching career, but also looking forward to learning off him, particularly about Hibs as a club, about the players, because of course he's got that inside knowledge already. And yeah, I think it's a nice match. We had a good game of golf the other day, of which we managed to beat Ian Gordon, so he was delighted with that at the Renaissance. So yeah, he's a good golfer as well, and so is Ian Gordon actually. So I was questioning whether they were doing enough work to be that good at golf.
And another question, if I can, just on sort of senior players like Paul Hanlon, Darren McGregor, do you think there'll be similar pathways for them to join your coaching staff when they retire?
Well, I think, look, it's certainly an option. You know, you've got to get the balance. You can't have too many coaches. But I think, like, you know, the player like Lewis Stevenson is a good example. Hanlon has discussed McGregor. All these guys like have got huge experience in their career and in Scotland, more importantly. And they can, we can use that, if you like, to channel the younger players into being as best as they can be. And they have to be great personalities, and then they have to obviously be good coaches as well. But to be honest, it would be determined by their quality. You know, there won't be any favours. It will be about what they can bring to the organisation, to the party. And at that age, obviously, you do start thinking about what's next. And I think it's natural. And we'll always try and help players, both present and past, as best as we can at these football clubs. And it's the right thing to do.
My final question is kind of also on the coaching side. Our last kind of manager, we brought in quite a robust coaching team. There's quite a few positions there filled with quite specific technical kind of duties, if you like. So on paper, it seems from the outside, there's quite a few vacancies there as well. So we know that sort of Jamie McAllister should be joining the club. I'm interested, you know, what kind of coaching team do you see your final staff looking like, and what areas in terms of like technical specific areas do you like to fill? You know, we're going to get a Liverpool style throwing coach anytime soon.
We can. Might have to have a whip round to get another throw-ins coach. I think that the first thing to do, and the reason I haven't sort of come steaming in, if you like a bull in a china shop with the staff, is because you want to see what qualities you've already got in the building. And I think it's really important that you don't just bring your mates in. You know, of course, you've got to trust your staff in and around you, but it has to be right for the football club. I think that's the key. So I've wanted to take my time a little bit more on this. I want the club to interview any potential staff member as well, because I think that's important. You know, they have to fit into the culture of the group, and like they have to be able to get on with people. You know, we want a nice environment. Yes, we're going to have an environment that we sort of demand, if you like, but also it's got to be warm. And people have got to want to come in and be able to have banter. We've got to look after each other, because there's a lot of sabotage to a performance. You know, the external noise, the press, there seems to be a lot that gets out from the football club, which is something I've got to understand why and how. So all these things, for me, are just areas of the job that I've got to focus on. And you need good staff members and good employees to be able to wrap around each other, look after each other when it's not going quite so well, and then flourish and continue to grow when it is going well. So, I'm pretty sure those announcements will come within the next sort of 2 or 3 weeks, but we do have to get it right because, like I say, there's a lot of good staff already at the football club, and we've got to make sure that we're economical and not just wasting attributes.
Just to change the tone a wee bit, Lee, we get people send us in daft questions to our podcast. So if I may just give you sort of 3 quick fire ones, and then I'll be done. So the first one is, if you were a wizard, what spell would you use every day?
I'd probably make myself invisible.
And how could toilets be better?
How could toilets be better?
Yeah, like heated seats or a music player or facing another way.
Arch toilet roll.
Newspaper to hand. Newspaper in the
yeah. Smell reduction.
And can you name a hairy dog?
A hairy dog. Cockapoo.
No, it was Gary. It was a missing dog that was in my street, but they found it now. But good guess anyway. That's all for me, thanks.
Okay, mate.
just the last one from me, Lee. I just wanted to know, what does success at Hibs look like to you?
It means competing in the upper echelons of the league, that's for sure. Look, I was up here, like I say, when I was at Hearts, we managed to break the old firm. You know, that's a big step. Whether that's the short-term aim, it's certainly the long-term aim. But to do that, we're going to have to bring through top youth players. We're going to have to make sure that we hold our best players at key times and build like an unbelievable, powerful unit, you know, all the way through from fan base to hierarchy at the football club. But it's doable, you know. The cups are obviously key sort of performance indicators for success as well, and a consistency of hitting the European places, you know. So, like, can I guarantee any of it? No, I can't. What I can guarantee is that we'll play our way, we'll play it hard, we'll work every single day doing everything we can to bring success and happiness and fun to the football club. And hopefully we'll have a really good journey and provide a level of performances that make the fan base proud. Because as we realised in lockdown, football is nothing about and you know, we want as many as we can behind us for as long as we can. And there'll be ups and there'll be downs. And, you know, I'm big and ugly enough to be able to take the stick when it comes, and it will. But at the same time, I've got a real belief in what we can do here, and we'll continue on the right path. And I'm sure that it will come to us in the end, because we'll make more right decisions than wrong ones.
Perfect.
I think this is my last one, but how do you define leadership, or what do you expect from your captain and other leaders?
I think we've got to develop leaders all throughout the football club. You know, each individual will have their own USP when it comes to leadership. And that could be, just to give you an example, you know, a young player that's really good at chatting to people one-on-ones and can sort of put his arm around somebody and make him feel $1 million. The flip side of that, you get a senior player that might be able to like drive and rally the dressing room in terms of that voice, that sort of front foot warrior type feel, lead by example. And it's our job to nurture these leaders, if you like, all the way through the football club. And your senior players are obviously key with that, but anybody should be able to step into that role. And particularly the younger players coming through, like, we want them to be able to have a voice, like, not just be overawed by the senior players that are in the dressing room. So I think it's a nice dynamic down at HTC, that. I think even just the layout of the training ground and the way it is and the way you sort of bump into people along the corridors, you know, we have to create an environment there that encourages people, not just players, to bring their best qualities out and not be fearful of making mistakes, whether that be off the pitch or on the pitch.
Okay, thanks.
Just one final one from myself. As football fans, especially Hibs fans, like, the key things I think it's fair to say we care about is games against Hearts, cup runs, Europe, and finally home form. I think home form, especially last season, was incredibly disappointing. How do you aim to correct that this season?
Well, like I said before, you're such an important part of that home form. You know, I think if you've got an understanding of how we want to play and you start seeing that in your mind's eye, and then the lads are then producing it, because at the end of the day, once the lads cross the white line, it's up to them. So there's a psychology that goes with that. There's obviously a clarity and there's a bravery, you know, and I think that's the bit I can do. I can remove the element of fear, if you like, and shield the players from that as much as possible. And then hopefully they'll be able to go out and bring their best. And I think that's success, like, and that's high performance, which is being able to bring your best when it matters most. And it matters most, obviously, when we're at home playing in these big games in front of our own fans. So listen, there's going to be lulls in the season. There's going to be bad performances. There's going to be disasters along the way over the next sort of 3 or 4 years. But on the whole, I'm really, really got a strong belief that we can be successful.
Well, Lee, thanks so much for your time today on behalf of Down the Slope, Long Bangers, Strong Opinion Hibs and Hibs.net pod. It was great speaking to you, and I think I can speak on behalf of us all when I'm saying we're very excited for your tenure at the club.
Thank you. No, I'm really looking forward to it and appreciate everybody, and even the question about the dog, which I didn't really get. But
nobody does. Don't worry about it.
I didn't know if that was a local joke. I'm not sure.
Barely a joke.
Hardly counts, does it? I was saying it out, don't worry.
Cheers, Lee.
Cheers, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Cheers.
Cheers. Best of luck.
Thanks.
So, Harry, that was a chat with Lee Johnson alongside, obviously, the Hibs podcast. What did you think of it? It was the first chance, obviously, we've had for us, which is very lucky, to sit down and chat with the new manager, and it's sort of the first time he's spoke really since his opening sort of press conference.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just kind of the fact we were on it, but yeah, I think it's difficult not to be impressed. I think he hit all the green flags of the things that we've been highlighting and what we want in a manager.
I'm a man of rage, he wants to win derbies. I'm a man.
Wait, that's all that matters. Nah, but in terms of it was his knowledge of the club. I mentioned it to him during the call, but he just knows so much about Hibs. He completely gets it. I was going to say to him, do you realise like how big the derby games are? And there was no point asking that question because he already knew. And yeah, just talking about the fact that the Edinburgh Derby is something that attracted him to the club, I think is a massive thing. Like, people need to get that game to actually managing it properly. Like, I think managers that have failed in it in the past are the ones that don't really understand the animosity and the passion that's in that derby. So yeah, no, overall though, not that aside, I think it was a really impressive call. I think he spoke incredibly well, and I genuinely think Hibs fans should be excited for the football we're going to play next season.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued to see sort of the recruitment side of things. Obviously the conversation was very recruitment heavy on the sort of first half of things, which is to be expected, especially when a manager comes in the closed season. What did you take from it? Do you feel like you're any more wiser to what a Lee Johnson player might well look like?
I think it's calculated. He was asked a couple of times about what type of like player he wants to bring in, and he just kept on reiterating he wants to bring the right player in. It doesn't matter if it's early in the window or if it's late in the window, he just wants to make sure it's the right man. I think quite a lot of managers will be hasty and kind of do that whole get them in early so we get the full pre-season. And the fact that he was somewhat worried about how short the pre-season thing again, I think is a good thing, because it kind of shows he wants to get this philosophy drilled into the players. And you know, I think he's got a way of playing football that he thinks is the correct way to play football, and I'm really confident now after that conversation, especially, that he's going to make that happen. I just think, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited that it was difficult not to be excited, in my opinion, after that. Yeah, he seems like a top guy as well. And what a man. Yeah, apologies, I didn't answer your question. I'm just tangenting on, because I'm falling in love with Lee Johnson, mate.
There seems to be I think it's good to hear, oh God, I'm starting there. The League Cup did seem high on his list of priorities, which I think is important. I think in the past on here, we've had various discussions about the League Cup, but it is soon. You know, like the first game, it's not Falkirk. Falkirk's the second game. Is it Clyde's the first game, I think?
I think Clyde, yeah.
I'm excited to see what a Lee Johnson team looks like. I think on against Clyde, it's not exactly going to be the biggest judgment stick to base the season on, but I think all signs are looking good. If you hadn't already, would you be bought in on after hearing that?
Yeah, no, 100%, mate, 100%. Yeah, I think the League Cup thing, it's mainly, I think he wants to start in the front foot. The fact he's got those competitive games, he's got 4 back-to-back relatively quickly, I think that's the reason he wants to hit the ground running, because that's the thing before, with Heckey, he had quite a lot of momentum going into the summer, and then we kind of stuttered our way through the group. Even though we won all the matches, we weren't particularly convincing in them. So I think that he's well aware of that, and he just wants to kind of come in and dominate from the off, which, again, I think is really positive. But Ewan, I'm talking about my opinions. What about yourself? How excited are you after that call?
I think he comes across really well. I think we've spoke about it in the past. but I know you've mentioned it even here, a guy that sort of gets the club, and it feels like he probably does. I think he seems keen to stress that point as well. I think you would, if you look at, say, Postecoglou at Celtic, he sort of seems to have immersed himself in with that club, and I would like to think that Lee Johnson can have a similar sort of relationship with the fans here. I know there was a lot of fans that at point of appointment maybe weren't best happy about it. Probably, I don't know if I would say ourselves included, there was obviously other names batted about, but having listened to his press conferences, his sort of chat with Hibs' social media team, and then that, no, I'm definitely on board. At the end of the day, I think we're always going to be on board with a new manager. You know, we were all on board with Sean Maloney when he first sort of came on. We thought it sounded fantastic. The club done a lot of good sort of coverage of his first sort of couple of weeks in, and look, it all went to shit. So I don't think it changes the fact that we think there's a lot probably needs to happen over the summer. I maybe thought that we, I know we signed the two players, but I don't know. I thought we would, there's not been any confirmation of departures either really yet. Which, so I think there's still a long way to go. But currently from what I've heard of the new manager and sort of the way that he speaks about the club and how the club have supported him in his first couple of weeks in role, then it all sounds very good as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think one thing that kind of came out when he was speaking there as well is just quite how experienced he is and how many, like,
almost 500 games in it.
Yeah, and how many managerial geniuses he's picked the brains off. Like, the fact he spoke to, like, Bielsa, Guardiola, Mourinho, like, that's mental. Mm. Whereas Maloney had obviously been under the tutelage of, like, Martinez, but he didn't have any experience behind him. Whereas this guy, like, young as he is for a manager, like, he has got, like, he's got, some people take decades to get that much experience in management, and the man's got it already. As we said at the time, I completely understand fans having some hesitancies against the guy. He's not done anything in Scottish football since his playing days. And, you know, he was just sacked from his last job. But one thing he spoke very honestly about is Hibs are at the stage where we need someone to kind of steady the ship. He doesn't think we're going backwards, but just someone to kind of take it by the reins and put us on the right track. And he needs that for his career as well. Like, he was very open in saying that, like, if he does a good job with Hibs, he knows that's him going to be off well in his career. Whereas if he does a bad job here, then Hibs are a bit effect and he's a bit effect. So it's just refreshing knowing that he's just put everything, he's balanced up his options as well. For as long as we've taken to appoint him as manager, he's taken to accept the job, which I think is a really positive thing. It's been a really well thought out process. At times I was frustrated with it, but looking at it now, seems positive, mate.
Yeah, well, look, we're not going to blab on for too long. The listeners can form their own opinions. Talk to us on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, and let us know what you made of it. And look, I know we mentioned, the guys mentioned last week about what is our plans going to be over the summer. Well, I believe we're going to record on Monday. Our own Mr. Fogarty has come to us with a fantastic idea, so we will see how that goes on Monday. So, hey, the content keeps on ticking along, even though we never thought it would. And yeah, all of a sudden, that is it, the 9th of July, I want to say, doesn't it seem so far away? I don't, hey, what is it, when 1st of June tomorrow? Aye, so there we go. It's coming along nicely, and Hibs will soon be back. I don't know, you were talking about a break. Is this, have you had enough of a break?
Aye, mate, that's my break over. Like, I spoke to, to be fair though, like, I spoke to the Hibs manager. That's cool. That's cool.
Class, mate, right. Thank you for coming on, mate. Really good chat. Hope you all enjoyed it. We'll be back next week. And hey, there might even be a couple of signings to announce. Who knows? Fingers crossed. Cheers.
Bye.